Okay, now this morning, Lord willing, we're going to look at Luke 22, verse 21, 22, and verse 23. Luke 22. I'm taking the title for the message from what the Lord boldly declares in verse 22. Truly, 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 this is true. Verily, verily, truly, the Son of Man. Who is this Son of Man? Notice it's a capital S. This Son of Man is God the Son. God Almighty. The Son of Man goeth. He goeth as it was determined. As it was determined. But woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. Now, the title of the message is Divine Determination. The Son of Man goeth as it was determined. Divine determination. This determination is by the eternal, unchanging, immutable decrees of God. The Lord never changes. His decrees never changes. He said, I am the Lord, I change not. Now we know beyond all doubt, because the Word of God teaches plainly, declares plainly with great, great clarity, all the Lord our God wisely does, He does according to His determination. He does according to His eternal purpose. Purpose. That's a very important word in Scripture. All that the Lord wisely does, He does according to His eternal determination. That word means ordination. And everything He does on purpose. We can say with Abraham, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Everything He does it right. Ephesians chapter 1 says this, in whom also we've obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him. Purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory. Divine determination. This includes all things in creation. This world as we know it, even in its fallen state, is a glorious thing to behold. The heavens declare the glory of God. It includes all things in creation. We read this, Colossians chapter 1. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in the earth, visible, invisible, whether it be thrones or dominions, principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him, for His glory. Everything in creation, it just didn't evolve. A believer does not believe in evolution. It's creation. God said, let there be light. And there was light. He created all things by purpose and according to His divine determination. Secondly, this includes all things in providence. All things in creation, all things in providence happen by divine determination. All those fires out in California. Terrible. Tremendous suffering. It just didn't happen by accident. Divine determination. Divine decrees of God. We read this. For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things. Now that covers all the bases. For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Now all things in creation by divine determination. No problem with that, right? No problem. Believers don't have a problem with God being absolute sovereign in what we call the providence of God. What unfolds in time happens because God from eternity decreed and ordered all things. Thirdly, And most especially when we talk about salvation. Salvation is by the divine determination of God. Right? Not of him that willeth, or of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. That is, we're saying this, the Lord our God never justified any sinner by accident. Salvation is not an accident. God saves every sinner whom he wisely saves on purpose by his divine determination. God from eternity elected a people and divinely appointed their end to be conformed to the image of Christ. That's what we call predestination. In salvation, the Lord our God saves every sinner whom he wisely saved by his purpose and by his grace alone. Now, let me read this to you. This is familiar to you. The apostle said, it's God who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace given us in Christ before the foundation of the world. Preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying this, that creation is by God's divine determination, that providence is by God's divine determination, and so is salvation, by God's divine determination. Now, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. All of that is by divine determination. You have nothing to do with it. God saves sinners by his divine determination. All things are of God, we read, 2 Corinthians 5. All things are of God who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and given to us the ministry of reconciliation. All things are of God who reconciled us. Sin did what? What sin do? Separated us from God. That's what happened when Adam sinned. Separated from God. Put out of the garden. Put out of the garden. What happens at Calvary when he died for the sin of God's elect? Reconciliation. How did that come about? By divine determination. God determined from eternity. The Lord Jesus Christ is called in our text here, verse 22, the Son of Man. Now, oftentimes and many more times we read through the Gospels, we see him called the Son of Man. Now, he is a real man, born of a woman in the fullness of time. God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. But let us never forget that the Lord Jesus Christ, there when that baby was born in Bethlehem, that is not when he began to be a person. That's when his humanity was born. But he is the eternal Son of God. He is the Son of Man as he took our humanity unto himself. The Son of God, the eternal God, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He had to be the Son of Man because God cannot suffer. Man cannot satisfy, but the God-man mediator in one blessed person, the Lord Jesus Christ, did both. He suffered as the Son of Man, and he satisfied God as the Son of God. You see that? He's the Son of Man, who is also the Son of God. The Son of God became the Son of Man that the sons of men might be made sons of God. In the gospel. Now, so all of this just didn't evolve. All this came to pass by what? Divine determination. God decreed these things to be so. Not only did the Son of Man come, he lived on this earth according to divine purpose to glorify the Father in all that he did to accomplish our salvation. He prayed this way in the garden, remember? Father, you've given me power over all flesh that I should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given to me. And this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I finished the work you gave me to do. He said upon Calvary's tree, some of the last words that he uttered from the cross as he died that horrible death in our place. Father, he said, it is finished. It is done. So all of that happened by not accident. Divine determination. Divine determination. The Lord Jesus Christ died according to the divine purpose of God. His death was no accident. Remember, he said, no man takes my life from me. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. The Lord Jesus Christ laid down his life for the sheep according to divine determination, according to his eternal purpose. Everything God does, now you write this down and remember it. Everything God does, he does on purpose. He does on purpose. I love that word, don't you? Purpose. God's eternal purpose. Everything he does. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified the Lord of glory. That's Acts chapter 2. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel of God. What is that? That's that divine determination. The Son of Man goeth as it was determined. Who determined that? Pilate didn't determine that. Herod didn't determine that. The Pharisees didn't determine that. He said the hour has come. This hour appointed of God by divine determination. Now, let's back up one verse. Luke 22, verse 21. But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. The hand of Judas. The hands of Judas. The Lord Jesus, observing the Passover with his 12 apostles, instituting the Lord's table, he said, this do in remembrance of me. Judas was sitting right there in the midst of these apostles. He was one of them. One of the apostles. Here the Lord of glory sitting with these 12 apostles, observing the Passover, observing the Lord's table, and with him the very man who had just sold the Lord Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver. Look back in the same chapter when Satan entered into Judas, verse 3, Luke 22. He went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him unto them, and they were glad and coveted with him for money, 30 pieces of silver we know. And he promised and sought opportunity to betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude. And you can read on the end of this chapter. He did just that. He came forth and he kissed the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 48. Verse 47, 48. While he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before and drew near unto Jesus and kissed him. And the Lord said, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? And that's what he did. He kissed him. Did he do it in sincerity? did he do it out of love? No, he did it out of greed. Greed. Judas betrayed the Lord with what I call the kiss of death. This was not a shocker to the Lord Jesus Christ, for he knows all things. In John chapter 6, he said, I have chosen you 12, and one of you is the devil. The Lord knew those things. This betrayal was prophesied in the Word of God hundreds of years before it came to pass. in Psalm 41, verse 9. And it all came to pass, the betrayal of Judas, everything that happened that day, it was all ordered and ordained of God, and it could not be changed by divine purpose. Let me give you two scriptures, actually three. Proverbs 16:4. The Lord hath made all things for himself, even the wicked, for the day of evil. That's saying a whole lot. That's what God says. Psalm 76:10. Surely the wrath of man shall praise thee, and the remainder of wrath he'll restrain. Even the wrath of man serves the purpose of God, according to his divine decree. Preacher, do you understand all that? No. Do you believe it? Absolutely. Listen to this scripture, Isaiah 45. He said, I am the Lord, there is none else. There's no God beside me. I girded thee, though you haven't known me, that they may know from the rising of a sun from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, there is none else. The next verse says, the Lord says, I form the light, right? I create darkness. How does he create darkness? He withholds the light. I make peace. I create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Now, how does he create evil or calamity? He withholds his goodness. And men go their wicked ways and do what they want to do and are totally responsible for their wicked deeds. Yet, he said, I, the Lord, do all these things. I form the light, I create darkness, I make peace, I create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Now, listen to this. God even uses the wickedness of men to accomplish his own eternal purpose. That's just so. I can't explain that. I don't understand it, but it's so. Now, verse 22, I want to camp on this just a moment. Truly the Son of Man goeth as it was determined, but woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. Now, the Son of Man goeth by divine purpose. Remember we read in John 14:1, he said, I go away to prepare a place for you. Remember? He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. The Son of Man goeth. He must die for our sins according to the Scriptures. If you read over here, turn a couple pages to Luke 24. The Son of Man goeth as it was determined of God. He died for our sins according to the Scripture. The Son of Man must suffer. He must die. He must be raised from the dead the third day. That, Luke 24:44. These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you. All things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses, in the prophet, in the psalm concerning me. This is the risen Lord. After he died for our sins, God raised him from the dead the third day. Then he opened their understanding that they might understand the Scripture. And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, to rise from the dead the third day, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Thus it is written, thus it behooved Christ to suffer. He must go this way of suffering for our sins. There's no other way. The Son of Man must suffer and die. If he does not suffer and die for the sin of his people, we have no salvation. We have no justification. We have no redemption from our sin. The Son of Man goeth. The only way God can be just and justify the ungodly is for the Lord Jesus Christ to die as a sinner's substitute. The just dying for the unjust that he might bring us unto God. God made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. This is all by not blind faith, certainly not luck. All this is by the Son of Man goeth by divine determination, as it was determined. You got that point? As it was determined by God's eternal purpose. The Son of Man goeth by the determination of God. That word determination means declared and ordained by the immutable decrees of God, known unto God are all of his works from the beginning. Now, I want you to turn with me. I want you to see this in the Scripture. Turn to the book of Acts, chapter 2. All this being determined by God. Acts chapter 2, verse 22. You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know. Now, here's the verse I quoted a moment ago. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain the Lord of glory, whom God raised from the dead, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Why wasn't it possible that the grave could hold him? Because he put away our sin. Now turn to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, look at verse 26. Acts 4, 26. And here we read that the Lord Jesus Christ died by divine determination. Acts 4, 26. The kings of the earth stood up. The rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For the truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod, Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were gathered together against the Christ of God to do whatsoever thy hand, thy counsel, determined before to be done. Did you get all that? You know, Herod and Pilate hated each other, but they came together and crucified the Lord of glory. The Pharisees, they hated the Romans, didn't they? I mean, they said they hated the Romans. The Romans collected all those taxes, but they became friends to kill the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're totally responsible for what they did. And they did exactly what they wanted to do. They plotted and planned to kill the Lord Jesus Christ. But he dies by divine determination of God. They did what God determined before to be done. You see that? That's the God we worship. And that's the only place where a sinner will worship it, at the throne of the absolute sovereign God. Now, when was this determination made that the Lord would die for the sin of his people? Was this determination determined after Adam had sinned? And God said, uh-oh, I've got a problem now. Sin's in the picture. What am I going to do? That's not what happened. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Revelation 13:8. Before there was ever a sinner, the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, stood as the surety of those covenant people. He stood as the sacrifice of those covenant people. So when was it determined? The gospel is as old as God, because it's the gospel of God. So it was determined from all eternity. Secondly, who made this determination? Well, we just read it a moment ago, didn't we? Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Thirdly, why was this determination made? Isn't there some other way that sin could be put away, that atonement could be made, than by the blood of the Son of God, the Son of Man? Is there any other way? There's no other way. No other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Why was this determination made? For the Lord Jesus Christ to make full atonement for the sin of His people, to enable God to be a just God and Savior, to enable Him to be a just and the justifier. But now watch this. The last part of verse 22, notice, as it was determined, colon, but woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. It's not well for Judas. Now, he did what he wanted to do. He did what his wicked heart desired to do. And he's totally responsible for what he did. Woe to this man by whom the Lord of glory is betrayed. We know the end and the sad story of Judas. He did what he wanted to do, and he's totally responsible. But the Lord says in Matthew 26, 24, better for him not to have been born than to be born and to betray the Lord Jesus Christ. We read in Matthew 27, when the Lord was arrested and Judas saw what his end was, he said, I betrayed innocent blood, and he went out and hanged himself. Judas died in his sin and was condemned to everlasting torment. Our Lord said, if you believe not that I am, you'll die in your sin. This is the sad end of every sinner who will not bow to the sovereign rule of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the sad end of every sinner that will not believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We read, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Now, in closing, let me give you this. A very vital question for us to consider. We read in this chapter here of Judas betraying the Lord. We read in this same chapter, the Lord says to Peter that you're going to deny me, not once, not twice, but three times. Now, who and what made the difference between Peter and Judas? It's obvious they were both sinners, right? It's obvious they were both guilty. Judas dies in his sin, while Peter is saved by the grace of God. Who made the difference? Peter had a mediator, a savior, to intercede for him, while Judas was left to perish in his own willful rebellion against God. It is only by the divine determination and the grace of God that has made any sinner to differ. It's only by the grace of God that you believe the gospel. I'm one of a family of 10 children. And the Lord, by His grace, singled me out, taught me the gospel, and the rest of my family, for far as I know, perished in their sin in unbelief. Who made you to differ from another? Why do I believe the gospel? My family hates what I believe. My brothers and sisters, my mother and my father. Why do they hate the gospel that I preach? It's God who has made us to differ. We only believe the gospel because God has ordained us to eternal life. It's only by divine determination that you believe the gospel. We only believe the gospel because God has ordained us to eternal life. Here's what we read, Acts 13:48. As many as were ordained to eternal life believed the gospel. Now, if God saved you, He did so on purpose, right? His purpose is an eternal purpose. It's a divine determination. We only love the Lord Jesus Christ because He first loved us. By nature, we love what? Darkness, not light. We only love Him because He first loved us. We only believe the gospel because God predestinated us to be conformed to the image of His Son.
Don't be afraid of that word. Predestination is a glorious word. It's in the Bible four times. Always predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son. We only believe the gospel of Christ because God, by His sovereign grace, has given us faith in Him. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God. We only believe the gospel because He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. Is that right? We're bound to give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification and belief of the truth whereunto He called you by our gospel, to the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 13, 14. We only... Excuse me. We only believe the gospel because God has appointed us to obtain salvation by the Lord Jesus Christ. In Luke 22, look down at verse 29. He said, "And I appoint unto you a kingdom as my Father hath appointed me." You're appointed to this kingdom. We read this. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 9. "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." It's by His divine determination that you believe the gospel. You got to hold what I'm saying. Salvation's by the will of God, the grace of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. I am what I am by the grace of God. I'm going to quit with this. May the Lord be pleased to bless us for Christ's sake in His divine determination. May we be blessed to sing the new song of redemption now and forever. And here's the way that song goes. "Unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sin in His own blood." Unto Him that washed us from our sin in His own blood. Who did the washing? He did. Who did the shedding of the blood? He did. In His own blood. "And hath made us kings and priests unto our God and His Father, to whom be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." What is that? Salvation by divine determination. That's the gospel of the grace of God in Christ Jesus.